This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. It is Stock Picker Monday on the show. It's coming up at 12:49. Right now, the passing of a stimulus bill leads today's economic discussion. Joining us with the latest, Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. He's an economist found online at AndrewBush.com. Andy, this deal is now signed. For months, we'd wonder if, you know, if we were ever going to get something. Now we have it. Is this actually a good deal?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. In comparison to what could be a better deal, no. I mean, if we got checks out to $2,000 each to everybody, then that would help the people most in need for sure. But this is a good step forward. And already we're seeing research firms like Goldman Sachs up their potential GDP for the first quarter from like 3% to 5% based on this deal that just came out.
So as far as these checks going out, as you mentioned, that's good for a lot of Americans, gives them a little bit of a cushion. Yet we have the president-elect saying this is just the beginning. He expects there to be more stimulus early in the new year.
Yeah, and I think that's his plan. I mean, certainly he's made it known that he wants an infrastructure deal done. Obviously, that would be great for Illinois. We have a lot of roads here, but there's a lot more to it than just that. President-elect Biden wants to spend a lot of money on environmental issues as well. He's allocated or talked about $1.7 trillion of spending. Affordable housing, that is a sore need for this country. That's another area that he wants to get into. So I'm not sure exactly how this is all going to unroll, but I will tell you, looking at what he's announced already as far as personnel goes, he's clearly focused on environmental issues, and I think that's really important for spending going forward.
So as far as economic activity, first quarter, second quarter, this would obviously seem to predict that there's going to be a little boost.
Yeah, I think we're going to go. Most people were looking at about 3% GDP growth. Now you can probably bump that up somewhere between 4 to 5%. The unemployment rate is sitting right now at about 6.7%. That could come off a little bit more. It seems to have stabilized right now around that level. So we won't really see a huge change to unemployment until, we see changes to people's behavior through getting vaccinated. And then, you know, travel, transportation, hotels, bars, restaurants, those will all see significant economic growth. But we have to get more people vaccinated, and we need to get the infections under control.
And the challenge there, I guess time will tell, but the challenge there is we don't know what has changed permanently in businesses, right? Are they going to continue having people working at home? And if so, that affects restaurants and those sorts of things, especially in downtown areas. It seems like it's going to be really, really difficult to predict what things will look like by the end of next year.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And I don't think this is like this vaccine is going to help, but I don't think it's going to be the end of the virus at all. I think we're going to see this, the impacted virus, continue throughout 2021 and actually into 2022. The future looks brighter than it was in 2020, no doubt. But you mentioned work from home, but all of those, you know, questions about whether people are going to go back into work, how many days a week will they go back in? Is it only going to be people that get vaccinated to go back in? Are there only people that are going to be under the age of 50 going back in? We don't know these things, and they have huge impacts on not only bars and restaurants, but commercial real estate and transportation and energy. I mean, it all cascades out from that behavior.
Thanks so much, Andrew Bush. You can find him online at andrewbush.com. Just ahead, taking stock of the pandemic landscape, especially the latest on those vaccines. vaccines. As we close out a year that's really defined by COVID, there is worry of a new surge even as vaccines roll out. Joining us with the details, Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News. Michelle, what is the concern here of this new surge?
So the concern, Cisco, just as we've been talking about all year long, is this desire of people to gather, which is completely understandable. Over Christmas and the holidays, people want to be with their family and their friends. We saw more than 1 million people traveling on Saturday alone. And the concern is that amount of mixing amongst different households, different families, people who've been out and about, is likely to start passing the virus around, just as we're passing, you know, the love and the hugs and everything else.
And people, you also have, I guess, the issue potentially with this new strain. It seems to have started in the UK. Not sure if it's here yet, but it would seem unlikely that it wouldn't be here somewhere.
Exactly. You know, we are seeing now this recommendation that or this requirement that people shouldn't be able to come into the U.S. unless they have a negative coronavirus test. Of course, we know that we did that in the beginning, trying to shut it out from coming in from China. Also, that's a very difficult thing to do. As you say, it's unlikely that particular variant is only isolated in the UK or in the handful of other places where it's coming. We just haven't detected it in the other places yet, but they are trying to slow it down from coming here. And so, of course, that's the condition. We're not sure if that variant is going to make it easier to transmit the virus or make it more deadly or virulent. But those reports are still underway, that work. At this point, they're thinking that the vaccine that we have now will work against it, the two vaccines that we have and the others that are in development. But that's still a hope, not a guarantee. We do know that things like social distancing and masking will protect against it, though.
Let's talk about those vaccines. What's the threshold where we actually start to see a change in the number of infections? How many people have to be vaccinated? Are we talking 30% of the population, 50%, 70%? What does that look like?
Right. Well, when we're talking about herd immunity, in order to shut it down, you know, broadly across the country, they've been saying from the beginning, you know, 60 to 80% of the population has to have some protection either from previous infection or from the vaccine. Of course, we know that we haven't caught all of the previous infections. So it could be that there's a greater number of people who have been infected who perhaps don't know about it. So maybe we have a little bit of a head start on the vaccination efforts. We do know that, you know, more than 1 million people have been vaccinated against the virus at this point. They're thinking that by March or April that everyone will have access to the vaccine. So we are hoping that we're going to start seeing some significant decreases in vaccine and virus spread in the spring. Hopefully early spring, certainly by mid to late spring, we should see a significant drop off in the case rates. But the chances of the virus going away entirely is very small. So this is something that's probably going to be with us at least for all of next year and perhaps longer as we have a few of these cases popping up. It's this huge overwhelming number of cases, the hospitalizations and the deaths that we're really trying to get under control.
Thanks so much for all the insight. Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News. Just ahead is a pandemic era wow at the movie box office. We'll tell you about that. That's next at 12:49. It is Stock Picker Monday.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Despite a limited theatrical release, lukewarm reviews, and polarizing social media chatter, Wonder Woman 1984 opened to a pandemic record setter. The film also debuted simultaneously on HBO Max. It was viewed by nearly half of the streaming service's subscribers. Let's talk about it. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Paul Dergarabedian, Senior Media Analyst for the box office tracking company ComScore, based in Los Angeles. Paul, is this kind of the beginning of something brand new, where you will continue to have movies released simultaneously in theaters and online?
Well, that's the multi-million dollar question, Cisco. I think it's really interesting. Warner Brothers doing this hybrid release, which was a bit controversial because this was a movie, Wonder Woman 1984, that was destined for movie theaters first and then after the theatrical window to be released on home video. Well, that just doesn't happen in a pandemic. Warner Brothers did a different strategy where they had it on HBO Max simultaneously, and the movie still earned $16.7 million in movie theaters in this opening weekend, despite the fact that it was available to HBO Max subscribers and those who wanted to sign up for HBO Max just to watch Wonder Woman 1984.
Got to be great news for movie theater operators, because they've been really understandably concerned that direct-to-streaming would put them out of business.
Yeah, I think people have been writing off the movie theater, just saying, well, it's going to go away. It's like a dinosaur. The streaming services will take over. But look what happened all summer. People were going to drive-ins, even though they had tons of streaming options at home. That speaks volumes as to how interested people are in getting outside of the home to do all kinds of things, but they have to do it safely and securely. And movie theaters have been really good about creating a really safe environment. And then beyond that, it shows that people eventually are going to go back to movie theaters. And even though year-to-date box office in North America is down 80%, I think once the vaccine is out there, once things are, you know, restored to some sort of normalcy, that we'll see the box office, the movie theaters, come back in a big way. But it's going to take some time, no question about it.
Is it especially encouraging that this movie did so well? And the reason I say that, I haven't seen it yet, but among all the people I've talked to who've seen it, they're pretty much disappointed with it. And yet there's this hunger out there to get back to the movies.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I think for people who go to the movie theater, it's about going out and seeing a brand new blockbuster movie. And you're right, the reviews have not been stellar at all. But this is a really huge piece of content. It's a big brand. The first movie was such a huge hit and so well received. They're kind of, you know, really capitalizing on that. And I think people are just so, there's this pent up demand to just see new blockbuster material, if you will. And I think Wonder Woman fit the bill, irrespective of the, you know, very, very mixed reviews.
Thanks so much. That is Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A look at the best advice for job seekers as the year is closing, but the pandemic is not. Our Monday afternoon stock picker comes up at 12:49. President Trump wants Congress to increase individual checks for Americans that are part of the COVID stimulus bill. And Cook County's chief judge proposes a new branch of the courts for young adults. WBBM Business, the Dow up 185 points, the NASDAQ is up 114, and the S&P is up 32 points. We have some sunshine in Chicagoland as we are heading up to, well, right about where we are now, freezing throughout the afternoon, but that sunshine will be around all day long. 31 degrees now downtown. It's 12:30. Europe has just announced a mass vaccination rollout for the coronavirus. For hard-hit Italy, it couldn't come soon enough.
Coronavirus may have originated in China, but once it got a foothold in Italy, it ravaged the population. Unimaginable, the number would climb to more than 15 million cases and 350,000 deaths across Europe. The pace of mass vaccinations will be no match to the spread of coronavirus anytime soon. Charlie Daggett, CBS News, London.
The president has signed the $900 billion coronavirus relief bill. He signed it as is.
Last night, the president reversed course and signed this massive coronavirus relief and government funding bill. Doing so, he averted a government shutdown and sent millions of dollars in aid to Americans, just as unemployment benefits, some of them had lapsed this weekend, and an eviction moratorium was expected to end this week.
At CBS's Paula Reed, the president says he will be sending back what he called a redlined version of the bill to address what he considers unnecessary funding. It's 12:31.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Stocks are trading higher. The Dow up 187, the NASDAQ up 115, and the S&P is up 32 points. Joining us with the latest on what's moving Wall Street, Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors here in Chicago. Susan, it's always good to have you on the show. What do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Well, we're definitely seeing a continuation of that Santa Claus rally. Optimism is high as the markets look towards that development of the COVID vaccine and the rollout. And then finally, some resolution. We see those $600 checks going out. There's some support for the unemployment benefits, which were about to run out. And we've seen that extension of the moratorium on evictions. So all of that positive, the market's taking this very well. And as we see, it's trading up today. NASDAQ up almost 1%, S&P just at the same levels, and Dow Jones up 0.6% right now. So very positive. I think the market is looking forward to 2021. And all of this news coming out bodes well for a growth in business levels into 2021.
So what do you make of the fact that the stock markets, I mean, they look really solid, and yet we still have very high unemployment, a lot of people not sure when they're going to get back to work, a lot of businesses, especially the restaurant industry, isn't sure when it's going to get back up and running, and yet the markets keep taking off and setting records.
The difference between Wall Street and Main Street has persisted this year, but I think that's because Wall Street is really looking forward to 2021 and seeing this normalization of the economy. And so what we're seeing now is the anticipation of a return to normal daily events. Consumers going back to their old habits. We expect to see a big boom in services, and the market's anticipating this when you see some of the stock price moves. So while, yes, today, we still have some headwinds. The market is looking forward to say, where are we going to be in 6 months? And I think that's important to remember when you're positioning yourself in the market. The market is forward-looking, not backward-looking. So look to what is going to work, not what has already worked.
So as we move, I guess, back to whatever the new normal is going to be, talk about the sectors that might be winners and the ones that might be losers as people start especially getting back to work and maybe relying a little less on technology.
Well, consumer discretionary is an area that we want to focus on because we do think that there are a lot of services like restaurants that people are going to go back and where they want to spend their dollars. People have been pent up demand, cooped up for a year now. They really want to get back out there. I think the other place that you look at while you're wanting consumer discretionary, consumer staples. Maybe we're going to be a little bit more cautious there because we are seeing that move back towards probably eating outside. We've been cooking up a storm. Everyone's been eating at home. Now we might be moving to eating outside more often. I think as well, we're seeing a boon in financials. We see strength in that industry for the last couple of weeks, and that's because the optimism about business growth is there. And so we see small loan development in that regional bank level where there's quite a positive trend and tailwind for businesses going forward. Banks not only are small businesses themselves, but will benefit from being that service provider to other small businesses.
Is there any reason for people maybe to be a little cautious? I guess you always want to be cautious because there are always unknowns, but we're not exactly sure whether, for example, the new strain of the coronavirus might end up being a problem down the line, or maybe hiring doesn't come back as strongly as we'd like it to be in 2021. Does that impact at all investing advice?
Well, it does, Cisco, because I think it depends on your time frame. And so you need to realize that those threats are still out there, and we anticipate volatility to continue in the market. We are going to get news headlines that talk about, you know, increased virus infections. We're going to get headlines that talk about concerns over trade. We're going to talk about, you know, this isn't moving as fast as we want. The unemployment rate is still higher than ideal. All of those things will be hitting the headlines. We do think that those are going to cause pause in the market when they hit. But the market has shown that it just looks through that and is resuming its upward trend. I think as long as you feel like you can live through it and have a long enough time horizon as an investor, you should be fine. But recognize that there are bumps along the way. This won't be a smooth, steady path.
And as far as dividends, that's always something that I want to ask for. I mean, is that something people should be worried about, given the fact that so many companies cut them? Or do we expect those to maybe march back in 2021?
I think as companies gain their footing again, they will march back into the appropriate dividend level and what is seen as norm. Dividends are a nice thing to have right now because we have interest rates at 0% overall. So obviously those investors looking for yield are looking to dividends, but the movement will not be in dividends this year. Because of the growth and expectations for growth, the movement will be in those underlying stock prices, and particularly stocks that perhaps lag behind a little bit but now have a chance to surge. Those stocks don't necessarily pay dividends.
Thanks. Thanks so much. That is Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors here in Chicago. Just ahead, job advice and predicting the future following this completely unpredictable year.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Job placement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas hosts their 35th annual free career hotline. It's today and tomorrow. Employment experts will be available to provide free advice. 312-422-5010. Joining us with the details, Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President at Challenger Gray and Christmas. Rick, we want to talk about the job picture in general 2021. But first, what's it like? People call this number, they talk with an expert. What exactly do they get if they call for this job help?
Well, sure. You know, we have a limited amount of time and a lot of people to reach. So it ends up being sort of an ER process. We want to get to the critical issue for the person that calls in. You know, do they have joint custody? Have they been looking and not had any luck at interviews? What seems to be their biggest pain point? And then go right at that. You know, an analogy that we've used for years is that having a job is sort of like a relationship, a marriage, if you will. And most people who are used to being married are terrible at dating. And we're going to get on the dating side and say, look, this is the things that you can do to change the likelihood of you getting from A to B to C. And it's just one of these things that everyone understands intellectually when you explain it to them, but they never apply it. They never apply it to themselves. They just they don't know what they don't know, and they tend to make the same mistakes over and over.
Is the advice different in a Zoom culture? I mean, for many people, that's going to be their interview now. It's going to be over video.
Well, human nature is human nature, so in some ways it isn't, because you're still trying to connect on a personal level. And so, you know, avoiding direct contact instead of pursuing it is the first mistake. You don't want to send an email if you can actually have a phone call. You don't want to have a phone call if you can have a Zoom call. Now, the other side of it, though, is you have to practice with your friends and relatives or whoever, or someone who's more comfortable with it. Make sure that the lighting is not directly behind you, so you just look like a silhouette, that you don't have triggering issues in your background anywhere around you, that you understand how to present yourself, and that you've practiced. You know, Zoom is one of them, but there's a lot of different technologies. So make sure that you understand the technology that you're going to be using for the interview, and don't practice on the actual contact information that you have for that company. You don't want to accidentally call them on a Zoom call when yours isn't for another 2 hours.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, yeah, that's not a good way to help get the job. No. So is there hope for people who've been struggling to find jobs as they've been laid off during the pandemic? Is there hope looking forward to 2021 that things are actually going to turn around?
Well, the answer is yes and no, and I don't mean to be smug about it, but the reality is there's still opportunities out there, even in the worst of economies, and this is not the worst, although it's quite bad. There's a lot of churn that happens, both at the top end of the organizations and the bottom end. You have to be more flexible about how you describe yourself. You know, your first conversations with somebody in an organization are not about the specifics of a job and comp and whether there are benefits, et cetera. We tend to get the cart before the horse and want to figure out if this is all going to work. When the reality is once I say, would you like this job and here's what it is, I'm a lot more inclined to be open to negotiation. But if you start out saying, you know, I'm not willing to relocate, well, why am I talking to you? Let's move on to the next one.
Yeah, then that video call is over pretty quickly.
Sure.
Still wise for people to consider new skills? I think often they feel like that's a waste of time. You know, by the time they get trained in something new, those jobs are going to be other people have those jobs and they will have wasted their time.
Sure. Well, I think that if you were, for example, if you were a plumber, which is actually a great job and in high demand, and you decided to become a coder, that's not practical. The likelihood of you becoming good in the amount of time necessary, and then for someone to say, I'm going to take a chance on somebody who's, you know, a 45-year-old new coder as opposed to somebody that's been doing it for 10 years who's only 30, that's not going to happen. But in terms of repotting yourself, in terms of, you know, a lot of the skill sets that you have are transferable. If you have good verbal skills and good written communication skills, if you are, for example, if you've been writing for the newspapers, which we've been talking about is a job that's becoming more and more difficult to keep, you still write content. You have the ability to be creative. You can be inside sales. You can find different ways to take your skill sets and retool them for the market. So there's opportunities out there. At the top end, you know, there's been studies out there that said at the very top end of an organization, 40% of the executives, the senior VPs in a company, transition out sometime within 18 months of the time that they start. Why? A lot of differences. It doesn't work out. They want to leave. There's lots of different reasons why. But that means there's still steady churn at the top of the house.
Thanks so much, Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President, Challenger, Gray & Christmas. Again, they have employment experts providing free advice today and tomorrow. The number's 312-422-5010. If you're not able to get that written down, I'll tweet it out here in a matter of moments on Twitter at Cisco Cotto.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Wealth Management Group. Joining us with a pair of investment ideas, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter based in Hammond. Chuck, it's always great to have you with us. What's your first pick?
The first pick is a utility company, MDU Resources, symbol MDU. The stock trades for about $26 a share. Now, the utility sector has been kind of one of the bigger underperformers this year. However, MDU is not your ordinary utility. Yes, they do have natural gas and electricity utility services, primarily in the upper Midwest. But the biggest part of the company's business is in the non-regulated space. They're a big player in the construction services and aggregates business. They're one of the top 10 providers of construction aggregates in the U.S., and they also have a construction infrastructure services. It's a sector that we like quite a bit, actually, especially in 2021 with an improved an economy. It's a way to play kind of that cyclical, economically sensitive rebound that we're seeing, and you can do it in a stock that's pretty good dividend yield. MDU has raised their dividend annually for the last 29 years, and the current dividend yield is 3.3%. So it's a nice total return. It's a nice way for investors to play the utility space but have a kicker in some interesting non-utility businesses. That's MDU Resources, trades for $26 a share.
And good to get advice like that about a company that a lot of people may not be paying attention to. I mean, often people are just focused on the sexy stocks that everyone's talking about, and yet there are other solid ones like this.
Well, there are, and this is interesting because, again, we do like that sector, the construction aggregates, if you're a believer in kind of increased infrastructure spending in 2021, which we think you'll see. It's a nice way to play that, and yet you can also have this utility play and all packaged in a nice dividend yield. So it's a nice stock, and it's an affordable price at $26 a share.
All right, first one, MDU Resources. What's your second pick?
The second pick is Thermo Fisher Scientific. The symbol is TMO. The stock trades for about $460 a share. They're the real monster in the analytical instrument, lab equipment, life sciences area. And naturally, that stock has gotten a big lift, the company, from its COVID testing operations and businesses. Earnings have really jumped dramatically this year. They'll increase pretty sharply next year. Interestingly, though, you have a fair amount of investors that have become a little leery of some of the companies that have benefited from COVID in terms of the testing services, especially now with a vaccine and potentially in the second half of this year being in a much better shape and country-wise in terms of the pandemic. However, Thermo has already kind of taken that into account, the stock. The stock is down about 14% from its 52-week high of about $532 a share. So I think investors have already kind of factored that into the equation, which is one of the reasons I do like the price down here. Again, that's Thermo Fisher Scientific, stock symbol TMO, and the stock trades for about $460 per share. And as a disclosure, my firm owns and our clients own both of these stocks, MDU and Thermo Fisher.
Thanks so much. Always good to have you with us. Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, today's stock picker.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.